Welcome in the Drive 602 on the dot. Dave, Katie, and Nate, I think.
Maybe.
Let's go to the special guest line from Cleveland, Ohio. Do we have Katie Lauren Christensen?
Good morning.
Atta girl.
Jeez, hey. Sounds good.
She sounds fantastic. Apparently, the elves got together with the other elves, and they all built things. And,
nice.
You sound good.
Had to flee to the Cleve and get rid of us.
Do we sound okay to you?
You guys sound fantastic.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah! Katie's back. That's good. It's been like we're missing a leg or arm or both.
I know. It's been a little bit weird, right?
Why can't I see you, Katie?
What do you mean, why can't you see me? Oh, you want me to give you a call?
Yeah, that's the thing we do, so that we have visual cues and things that we can flip each other off during the broadcast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hold please. So, I've got some stuff I'm dealing with, so just give me a break here.
All right, well, let's see. While you're doing that, let me press, usually this is the segment where we talk about absolute garbage. Mm-hmm. And I thought let's continue that segment today and... I want to, Katie, can you hear me okay with that music on?
Yes, Dave, I can.
Okay, just making sure. I found this quiz last night, and I thought we could all have some fun with it. This is actually a sports quiz. It's an NBA quiz. And I'm going to ask the questions because I would have an unfair advantage being that I was alive and conscious for most of this decade, unlike both of you who are still young children. This is, how well do you remember the 1990s NBA?
Hell yeah. Okay. Let's do this.
Katie, you ready to play along?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Well, what's the protocol here? Do we get one question each? Or are we both going to get a shot at answering it?
You both get a shot at answering. I mean, we're not really competing. We're just this is honestly just a vehicle for everyone who's just kind of waking up right now. Play along at home. No prizes, no nothing. Just your own knowledge and satisfactory.
Say we're not competing. Like, you forget the two people you're talking to.
That's a great point. Okay. In 1994, the first number 8 seed won a series, beating the number 1 seed. That number 1 seed was the Sonics. What team?
Oh, this one's easy.
Beat the Sonics.
Do you want to go?
And what,
Katie?
Year? 1984.
1994, Katie.
1994. I don't know, Dave.
You don't know. Nate, do you have a guess?
The Denver Nuggets.
Denver Nuggets. Survey says the Denver Nuggets. That's absolutely correct. Again, not a competition, just fun. Why am I paused, Katie? I can't see you. There you go. What? You paused me. I don't know. I wasn't supposed to say that.
Sorry, as in this is a new thing, the way that I'm coming into the show. There's some things that I'm dealing with, so yeah.
Can you do me a favor? Maybe put some clothes on.
Whoa.
Hey. I do have clothes,
Katie,
on, you nerd.
It's a family show. My God.
I've got like 5 layers.
Sam Cassell. And that's, by the way, that's Florida State Sam Cassell. Which other star point guard were traded in a monster March 1999 3-team deal? I'll give you your choices. Jason Kidd, Nick Van Exel, Gary Payton, or Stephon Marbury? I did not know this. I got it wrong.
Was it Stephon Marbury?
Stephon Marbury is Katie's guess. Nathan.
Oh, God.
Jason Kidd, Nick Van Exel, Gary Payton, or Stephon Marbury were traded in March of 99 in a monster 3-team deal.
Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd. The answer is Stephon Marbury. Katie Christensen with the score. That is fantastic, and it is a 1-1, although we're not competing.
Not a competition, though. It's tied.
In 1994-95, this is 90s NBA if you're joining us. Welcome to The Drive. When Michael Jordan returned from retirement in the middle of the 94-95 season, how many games did he play before dropping a double nickel at Jason Williams of 55 on the New York Knicks? Your choices are the following. This makes it easier. 10, 7, 4, or 13.
Four.
It really doesn't make it easier.
No?
I'll go with 4.
Go with 4? Survey says 4. Early. Both of you are absolutely correct.
Way to lead the way, Katie.
4.
A beacon of light.
4 points. Where did the Seattle Sonics... Where did the Seattle Sonics play during the 1994-95 season? Was it Key Arena, the Seattle Center Coliseum, the Kingdome, or the Tacoma Dome?
Tacoma Dome.
Tacoma Dome for Katie.
Why is it the Tacoma Dome?
Why is it the Tacoma Dome?
Key Arena.
Key Arena was being built. They played in the Tacoma Dome. Wow, look at that.
What?
Katie balling.
Katie pulling ahead, even though we're not competing, mainly because she's much older than Nate.
Wow.
Question number five. This is fun. How many points did Reggie Miller score in the final 18.7 seconds of Game 1 of the 1995 Eastern Conference Semifinals against the Knicks? Katie says 9. Nine is one of the answers. Your choices are 9, 8, 11, or 10?
9.
9. Katie, you're going to stick with 9? That's,
9.
That's German for no, by the way. You learn something every
9.
Day.
9.
Well, overconfidence bit the cat. It's 8. 10.
He had a free throw, huh?
It's 8. Oh. 8.
Yeah, in your face, Katie.
8.
In your face.
You chose 9 too, sucker.
I don't think so.
He was piggybacking
Doesn't
you.
Doesn't sound like me.
How many MVP awards did Michael Jordan win in the 1990s? 1, 2, 3, or 4?
4.
Katie says 4.
Four.
Four.
I'm just
four.
Like, I hate this. Like, we have to alternate or something.
Four is absolutely correct.
I mean, if I'm going to get them wrong,
I'm sorry, Nate. There's no alternating. You got to scream out the answer. If there was a button, you'd have to push it.
Well, why would I do that when I can just piggyback on you?
That's a great point right there. All right, Nate, you try to answer this
I can
one first.
Carry a big load.
Just going to let that sit for a while, marinate, and then move on. Who coached the Sonics? We isolated that, right, Matt? We got... Oh, we'll pick that up off the recording later. That's got to be in an open. Who coached the Sonics to 7 straight playoff appearances in 1991 through 98? I'm not even going to throw out the multiple choices.
Carl.
George Karl is absolutely
in
right.
In your face, Katie.
This one's interesting. Who hit the game-winning shot to give the Bulls their first three-peat in Game 6 of the 1993 Finals? Was it Steve Kerr, John Paxson, Michael Jordan, or B.J. Armstrong? Katie says Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. And Nate seems very confident that it was, I don't know what the hell he's doing right now, John Paxson. And the winner is Nathan Goodyear, John Paxson. He was very confident.
Oh, I had the Sports Illustrated Year in Sports 1993 VHS growing up.
VHS, I like it.
Yeah, you do.
I was watching Thriller on VHS, so okay. I was doing something obviously more important.
See, there are a few things I remember about that year. John Paxson shot, Paul Westfall guaranteeing that the Suns were going to come back and win the Western Conference Finals, and Jimmy Johnson saying, "How about them Cowboys?"
That's
the year in sports, 1993.
That Phoenix Suns team is probably my all-time favorite non-Sacramento Kings team. Like,
pretty fun, man.
I loved that team. It was the first
Thunder Dan.
Dude, Thunder Dan Marley. You had, of course, the mayor, Kevin Johnson, Charles Barkley. You had Richard Dumas, who was like my favorite player. Nobody knows.
Talk about
because he was such a badass, and then he got into drugs, and it sucked.
That was really sad, actually.
That it really was. And we actually had Coach Paul Westfall. And when Paul Westfall came to Sacramento, I was oblivious. I was so excited because that's how I remembered him. I believe Paul took over for Cotton Fitzsimmons, that team, and took them. That was a championship team that, much like the Jazz teams and the Sonics teams, they're title teams in just about any other era, but they ran into that Michael Jordan guy. But that team was so, and it's the first road game I ever saw other than the Warriors before the Kings got here. It was the first year of America West Arena, and I'll never forget. And I've told this story before. They were undefeated at home. It was their last home game before the break. They played the Cleveland Cavaliers in a matchup that was the best team in the East and the best team in the West. Me and a buddy were down there for spring training workouts, and we took some time before we came back home to go to a game. And they lost. It was their first home loss of the year.
Your fault.
Yeah, it was.
What did you say? One of those championship teams, right?
The
Suns, the Jazz, and the Sonics. And you listed it, like, in that group, like, if we consider Kevin Johnson, like, he's arguably a Hall. He's not in, but,
right,
like, he's
the
in the discussion.
Yeah.
So you got him and Chuck, so that's 1.5.
Yep.
You've got Gary Payton.
Uh-huh.
You've got Karl Malone and John Sonics. That's 5. Potential Hall of Famer. Yeah. 4 locks for the Hall of Famer.
Do you think
there,
Dan Marley is a potential Hall of Famer?
Absolutely not. Okay. I don't even think he's in. Love Dan Marley. I don't even think he's in the discussion.
Anyway.
No. Not even in the discussion.
No. I loved him, though.
And that's the incomplete list of guys that Michael Jordan vanquished.
That's a great point.
Like, ruined their legacies, basically.
Well, hold on.
Best to never win a title.
So they beat the Jazz. Okay, so Michael Jordan's titles. Oh, now I'm going to think about that during the break.
Reggie Miller never got a title. And Patrick Ewing never got a title because he was going through the East. Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway.
Well, and then also you got to think Michael Jordan's retirement gave Hakeem Olajuwon a title he probably would have never had.
That's
two of
it.
Them, as a matter of fact. All right, we got a break. Yeah. Morning Brew coming up next, in which we will revisit something happened with the Kings last night. They scored more points than the other team at the end of regulation. I don't know what it's called. We'll figure that out. We have a Kyle Shanahan update, and Steve Kerr chides players. We'll tell you why. That's coming up in 4 minutes on The Drive, Sports 1140 KCK. Hercules, Hercules, Hercules.
Hey!
The Sacramento Kings.
They
won a ball game.
What do you know?
Wow! Yes, the Sacramento Kings beat the lowly, not really that low, actually, Detroit Pistons. Pistons fall to 21-25, but they were above 500 at home. And
the East the new West?
Right. Hey, now, say goodbye to Auburn Hills. They're closing it down.
That's it.
Which, great, because
well, they're not closing Auburn Hills down.
No, the
whole
city,
they're definitely
Katie.
Not returning to the Palace.
Well, just wait.
Yeah, the entire city is shutting down now.
There was nobody at that game last night.
Well, apparently... Somebody was there smoking a giant blunt. In
oh, my gosh.
Wait, what was that? What was going on there?
So I saw it develop. It came from the roof.
109-104 final.
Like right in front of the Kings bench across the court. And you could see this like kind of puff of what. At first, it didn't look like. It looked like mist, you know, like one of their.
It was
you know,
a pregame pyro, as I understood it. Like the smoke. And they do this at Golden 1, too, where they put the smoke out. So when they turn down the lights, there's foggy look and all that, and then it clears up before tip off. But in this case, it sounded like how they explain a broadcast is it went off when it shouldn't have, and then it glided from the Kings bench.
Is that
to
what Grant and Jerry said on the broadcast?
Yeah,
that's not right.
It's not what happened then.
There were it came from the roof. The pyro machine is always down by the basket. It came from the roof. I don't know what happened up in the kind of like the because you know how
I'm
they have
glad
the walkways
you could confirm that they were wrong then.
Yeah.
Well, it was wrong. I mean, I don't think they saw it develop. I saw it start to develop. Like, I think they were talking and action was at the other end of the court, so they weren't looking that direction. But it was just really weird. It was just this big plume of what looked like maybe like mist or fog, and then it just kind of came down and like went across the court, and then it was gone.
She said mist or
like,
fog.
It sounded like Mr. Coffee.
It did sound like mist, like Mr. Fog. Like, that sounds like the machine they used.
All right.
Mr. Fog.
You know what?
We're
no
idiots.
Do I guys give you an inside track?
By the way, breaking news: Katie Christensen calls Grant and Jerry liars. Straight
no.
up liars.
No.
We'll have reaction from Grant later in the program.
No.
Just real quick, I want to say it's kind of funny that happened last night because I was doing game night with Henry Turner yesterday, and he was telling me about when he was playing in Turkey. He was playing in like a Turkish championship one time, and this is like a small college-sized gym, right? Like it's not even a 17,000. He said dudes are in there like shooting flare guns at one another across
the court. Yeah, dude. They've got some weird... What is... There's a term
and the
for
way
it.
He described it was so funny, just like
in the arena, right?
Yeah,
there's a term for it. Why am I blanking? And is it TIFO? The when they do the fires and the smoke,
yeah,
I'm almost positive it's TIFO, right? TIFO, and but I think they do some of that sometimes in some of those Euro leagues, and the whole place is on freaking fire. We gotta
move. Right.
Yeah.
Play fake Ryan. Matt looks, throws, Jones up the ladder, and a great catch in Green Bay territory at the 42. Ladarius Gunner and Jake Ryan both contested it. Gunner hits him before he ever gets the ball. He goes up the ladder. Gunner undercuts his legs, and before he squeezes it, Gunner makes contact.
That was Julio Jones sucking all the life out of me as a Packers fan on Sunday when he broke free for that touchdown. But in other news related to the Atlanta Falcons and the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan will be interviewing for the head coaching job on Saturday. Yeah, he's free until February 5th, apparently.
They need to hurry up and like get this thing out of the way, because the longer this kind of plays out, the more likely it is that the Colts are going to hire a GM and that guy is going to say, kick rocks, Chuck Pagano. And if you're Kyle Shanahan, aren't you going to go work with Andrew Luck? I mean, get real.
Can they, forgive me for this, can they officially hire Kyle Shanahan now, or do they have
to wait? They have to wait.
They have to wait. So what can they, I mean, they're kind of,
I'm saying like the Super Bowl needs to get done.
I got you.
They need to finish the hiring. We just need to fly through this 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Get through.
You make a good point, though, Nate. Like, seriously, what should he, as the offensive quote-unquote genius that he is, working with Matt Ryan, what is it about coming to the 49ers that would make him excited?
That's
the only job.
Yeah, and it's the only job available right now. You know, it's kind of basically
he's the only candidate.
Here's let me give you an analogy I believe is fairly accurate when it comes to Kyle Shanahan and the Niners. And Katie, I'm glad you asked. So you're at a bar.
Oh Lord,
you've been at a bar since 8 p.m. You're a few deep. You've been flirting and going back and forth with a few. I won't even say ladies, Katie. This applies ladies to men. This is asexual.
We're inclusive, dude.
Right.
It's people. You're flirting with people.
You're going back and forth with some of the most attractive people in the bar, you know, buying them drinks, getting turned down. Oops, I'm married. Whatever the hell may be the case. And now it's the witching hour. It's 1:45 in the morning.
Or in my case, getting drinks bought for you.
Yeah, well, exactly. Mm-hmm. Katie gets drinks bought for her. Right. You know, she can go home.
I said that just to hear Nate be all snarky.
So you can be drunk for your dog. So here's the thing.
Sometimes sleeping with your book.
It's 1:45 in the morning. It's the witching hour. Last call gets rung out. You're hammered. And all of a sudden, the thing at the bar that you weren't going to talk to at 8:30 is all
scramble.
Of a sudden looking fantastic.
Scramble drill.
Kyle Shanahan is drunk. Kyle Shanahan has beer goggles on. And all of a sudden, the 49ers, which may not be entirely attractive, but my goodness, look at that body. There's potential there, and I don't want to be alone tonight.
He wants to see all the tattoos.
That is exactly what's happening. He's got his beer goggles on, and Jed York's waiting for him. Uy.
I am very disappointed in the players, though. I mean, they've asked for a vote, and a lot of them just made a mockery of it. So I don't know what the point is. So that was too bad. All in all, I think these things are they're always going to be debatable about who's starting and who gets named. There's always going to be very worthy players left out of the starting lineup, left out of the roster entirely. It's the same thing every year, and I don't know what the perfect answer is.
That's Steve Kerr. I mean, it was pretty clear. He's talking about the players making a sham out of their right to vote.
Instead of mockery.
Mockery. Well,
Travis Shamockery.
That's why, I've got a thesaurus. I don't just want to repeat what he said. Anyway, he had a chat with his players and kind of had it out with them, and then they went out and got trash canned by Dion Waiters.
yes, they did. Now, here's my question. Are we pretty convinced, because we never really, we asked the question, but we never followed up. We're convinced Darren Collison voted for himself, right?
Yeah.
Because he did admit the players could vote. Darren said that the players...
Why are you convinced that he did?
Because he got one vote.
I bet you Omri Caspi voted for him. And I bet he voted for Omri. Because those two are like freaking bosom buddies.
I think that we whiffed as journalists, quote unquote.
By not following up.
Like, we kind of left it out there for ambiguity. And we could have just easily said, Darren, did you vote for yourself?
Is that like asking somebody who they voted for in the election, though? Like, is that like private information that's like unfair
well,
to
obviously
ask?
Obviously, that's where we both arrived on it.
That's a great point. All right. So that's
that. We're just chicken.
Hey, finally.
They did make a mockery of it, though. They really did.
And that's one of the things that annoys me. Like, every time you start to, they go and do something stupid. Like, their financial futures are tied to this, a lot of them. All-star appearances, dumbass crap like that,
the most important thing that you can get as an all-star is the vote from the coaching staff.
Well, there you go.
Is the vote for the coaches. So there you go. That's the most respect you can get.
On the day of the Oscar nominations and all that stuff's going on, there's breaking movie news. If you're like Matt George and you haven't stopped humming How Far I'll Go since you first saw Mona, we have news for you.
Moana!
A sing-along version of Mona will be coming to a movie theater near you at the end of January. It launches January 27th. Where they actually have the words on the screen and invite the audience to sing along.
Whoa. I already know them. Not needed.
Matt George will be there with little silver bells on.
Quit making a mockery of Moana, Dave.
Whatever. You smoke Moana. We'll take a break. Back in 4 minutes. Kings beat Pistons. We'll talk about it next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. And the Kings would win by 5, 109, 104. The Sacramento Kings. are now just 10 games under 500. Game and a half out of the playoffs. Sorry, I just had to do it. They won. And you know what's really kind of goofy about this whole thing, too, is it is entirely possible, and I'm just going to say this one time.
No.
They could be 2-1 on this road trip. They could be.
Yeah.
They
sure could.
I'm not going to say they should be because we don't know they would have won in overtime or anything like in Chicago, but we'll say that 2 out of the 3 games on this road trip, they've been right there with a win or very close to it. They win last night, but what was very exciting to me, fellas and fellette, about last night, Willie.
I don't think that's the word. I don't
that
think
not
that's a good word.
Hey, he has a thesaurus too.
I do.
Just he made it up.
I have my own thesaurus.
Well, think about how you might spell that word
yeah.
and then look it up in the dictionary.
We'll go with E-double-T-E.
Kings, they won. It was good.
William Cauley-Stein, 12 points and 5 boards in 21 minutes. That was neat. Malachi Richardson, if you factored out to 48 minutes, scored 20 points.
And the two best heads of hair on the team.
Very, very good, as a matter of fact. Ty Lawson was the man of the night with 19 points. And if you combine Ty Lawson and Darren Collison, if you combine them into Tyron Collison as one guy,
Paul Lawson.
They had 31 points on 11 of 16 shooting with 9 assists and I believe 7 rebounds. Just a phenomenal game from all of them. And see what happens when a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, when he gets a little bit of help, unlike a couple days ago, Katie, when he was the only guy in double figures in points or rebounds. He had 22 points, 14 boards, 6 assists, but he was 1 of 6 Kings in double figures.
Yeah, the bench really stepped up. And what I'm loving about Ty Lawson right now is he is just destroying guards, just blowing past him, getting into the paint.
Yeah, he had everyone on skates last night.
Yeah, and he had 6 assists, Dave, but he had no turnovers. Yep. His turnover numbers have been so low, and it's just – that's why Willie had 19 point or 12 points because he just – he had wide open little dunks because Ty's like drawn everybody to him like a magnet. And it's like, okay, here's the ball. You can just finish this right there. He's amazing right now.
Yeah, there was one sequence. It was a little bit later on in the game, but they set up a pick and roll for him on the left wing. And I mean, I forget if it was DeMarcus or Willie that was doing the screening, but basically they just stood there. They didn't really even need to get set for the screen because Ty was wiggling so much. And now I can't remember who was defending him, but like the poor guy just walked himself right into the screen and got lost and almost tripped over his feet. It just had no chance. Obviously, this just needs to happen more often because you can't. I don't expect Ty Lawson to have that kind of matchup every night, but someone's going to. Like, someone's going to have a mismatch that they can exploit on a nightly basis, and they just need to find it.
I'm looking right now, and Katie, I don't know if you know this. I'm up to 11 points, 12, 13 points, just at 5th. There we go. That's what I thought. John Lohr last night was absolutely unstoppable in the first quarter with 15 points.
How good was he in the first half 15, and then didn't do anything?
Not the first half. The first quarter. And that's what I was just checking on. John Lohr scored 15 points in the first freaking quarter, and I believe his career high is either 21 or 23 points. He had 15 points in the first quarter, and he finished with 15 points on the entire game. That, to me...
You know what that says?
That's a chokey.
That says that he knew his career high after the first quarter.
I think he kind of did too.
All right, you guys got to realize this. Not only he had four.
Explain this to us, Katie.
Yeah.
I'm gonna moron.
Yeah, explain it.
How bad was the Kings' defense in the first quarter?
It's horrible.
When did it change?
Well, let's see. Being that they gave up 38 in the first, 24 in the second, 19 in the third, 23 in the fourth. I'm gonna go with second quarter.
Do you guys remember, right out of the quarter break, headed into the second quarter, I came on air.
Are you talking about the timeout?
Coach ripped them about their defense, absolutely ripped them, and was like, are you going to decide at some point to start guarding somebody, basically? And comes out at the quarter, they have a mix-up right away. He calls a 20-second timeout. It was after that it was like, okay, there was a little – you don't see that happen very often, Nate, where a coach burns a timeout so early. But whatever he said to them in that 20-second timeout, that from that point on, their defense shifted.
It's nice that we're seeing that. I mean, you know, George Karl had a lot of shortcomings, but sometimes just like, dude, call a timeout. Like, you need to – this –
We know that it's not a young roster, but it does need to be handled with kid gloves when it comes to... You can't afford to let momentum slip away because they just don't have that wide of a margin for error.
We've had this problem all year where the team, even when they were playing well, those losses came up. And part of the problem was, and it was a recurring situation, where they played almost like the 90s Lakers, where they felt like they could just turn it on in the fourth and come back and sleepwalk through the first two or three quarters of the game. And without realizing that they can't, they're not a good team. They're an average team at best. On the best night, they are average. They are a C-plus team on the best of nights, which means you got to put four quarters together 90% of the time to come away with a victory. Last night, they didn't. Last night, they put together, I'd say, three quarters of good basketball, but it was just enough to beat a Pistons team that isn't horrific, that's been making some strides. And again, it's the way they won, Katie. It wasn't just the DeMarcus Cousins show like it was against the Bulls. This was a team effort, and this is cliche, but I honestly believe if you got those three quarters, second, third, and fourth, out of this team on a consistent basis, you'd probably win as many games as you lost if you could somehow harness that type of team effort.
Well, you're not wrong at all. And that's the and it's, to be honest, it's kind of the problem for most teams in the league. I mean, Greg Popovich gets upset when they don't put together 48 minutes. That's a team that's as close to 48 minutes as you're going to get. But that's the kind of thing for every team. Problem is with the Kings is that they've generally let three quarters go, and it's one quarter that they put together, or one half, and they put together this run. If you could get this on a more consistent basis, this team has the talent if they play together.
Give you a hypothetical scenario that may or may not have opened my eyes as to exactly how biased I can be. But, you know, against the Kings in some way, you know, like we get so negative because we watch them all the time and we've seen them have collapses and all that type of stuff, right? So it's really easy to go doom and gloom. There's a lot of context that go into all their losses. But, you know, hypothetically, there might have been a point last night with about 8 or 9 minutes left in the game where the Kings were up by 7 points or so. And the Pistons' money line was at about plus 270.
Nate's developing a problem in front of our eyes, and it's kind of fun to watch.
And all I'm saying is that, you know, if you were to take something like that and think that this is the Kings, like they're going to give this up at some point, you start watching the game in a different way. And what I start seeing is suddenly the Pistons are the Kings. They're the team that is, like, choking when things are supposed to be happening. They're the team that grinds to a halt when it comes to the final 4 minutes and they don't know how to create shots for themselves. And so, I mean, aside from, like, hey, the Kings won, you know, you kind of hedge your bets there. But, like, what it showed me is just, you know, hey, every fan feels that way about their crappy team.
Right. Yeah, I think so.
Some of them feel that way about their great teams. Both Golden State and Cleveland lost last night.
Because, because it got to a point, like, with 4 minutes left, that's when I'm going, oh, the Pistons aren't going to come back. Like, the Kings, like, I'm watching the Pistons, and if there hadn't been, you know, that extra factor, I would have still been expecting the Kings to choke it away.
Last night, real quick, Katie, go ahead.
I think the most important thing to point out, you guys, 57 points by the starters, 52 by the bench. I mean, if you can get that, that's hard for any team to be able to defend if you can get that kind of production from your second unit.
Katie is in Cleveland with the rest of the team. They'll have a full day to enjoy the lovely city of Cleveland before they play tomorrow again. 4 o'clock tip off. Last night, the first time in NBA history that both NBA Finals teams from the year before lost on the same night to sub 500 teams. I don't know if that's the first time in history, but it seems like it's probably accurate or close. It's one of the few times at the very worst in history.
Dion Waiters is a hero.
When we get back, or as my wife
calls. Anthony Davis didn't even play for the Pelicans last night.
And they still won. They were up 20 at the half. We'll get into that more a little bit later on in the show. Don't forget Mike Florio coming up at 8:05, yeah. 4 down territory at 7:17. But in 3 minutes, the Atlanta Falcons are the NFC champions. They are one game away from the Super Bowl. And you're not going to believe how some bettors, speaking of gambleholics like Nate, you're not going to believe what team bettors actually bet on more than the Atlanta Falcons. Think of the absolute worst possible team, and you might have it right. We'll tell you in 3 minutes on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Pinker fingies. That's why I have no swag. Dave, Katie, and Nate.
Katie
is dancing. in front of me right now from Cleveland. I have the
I love this song.
I'm the lucky one enough to. I think she said I plove the song.
I know, do you have something in your mouth?
I love this song.
What did you ask, Nate?
If she's got something in her mouth.
No, I mean, like, are you eating? I have tongue and teeth and that little dangly thing in the back.
Is your tongue uvula. Swollen?
It's a uvula, Katie. That's the dangly thing in the back of your throat.
Love this song.
This is a quick segment. So coming up at 7 o'clock, we'll revisit King's Pistons four down territory at 7:17. Please don't go away, Katie. By the way, you need to come back, even though you're not here yet, because poor Nathan. Who, by the way, we were talking about this yesterday. Nate brought a friend to the to the Top Golf thing on Sunday, and it was so cool. Like, first off, his friend had a beard, which I thought was funny.
It was exclusive.
But is there like a club that he's in?
I think so.
Beards only.
And then like it was so funny because I think it's just because Nate's the youngest, but it was like, I don't know why it felt like the kid brought a friend on the trip to the thing. Like, I think you're the only one that brought
my buddy.
Right. I'm showing me, this is my buddy. What was his name again?
Chris.
Thank you very much. A very nice guy. Just saying.
My buddy.
You need to hurry up and get back because Nate is my buddy. And without you here, Katie, we commiserate quite a bit. We have our conversations. But Nate needs you here because
I just bother him with so much crap.
Yeah. Nate, I know.
He needs somebody to show his stuff.
I thought.
Like, before we come back from break, I'm usually locked down for, like, the 2 minutes before. All right, here's
really
what
we're trying to get sound and all that.
Yeah, so I have, like, three things set up for this segment I want to give you guys. And Nate's over, literally over my shoulder. And it's entertaining. Don't get me wrong. It's usually not crap.
But stuff to do.
But so far today, he is showing me, right before the break, as the music was almost on, he's showing me robots failing at kicking a soccer ball. last break, it was a mashup involving the Disturbed guy going, and the Tool Time theme from Tim Taylor. And then I think there's one other thing today that Nate just has a bevy of things he finds in the dark hippie internet that he brings to mind. And like I said, most of them are really good. There's just not really a concept
I just
of.
Just have to share.
I got to multitask.
I know.
Couple things here, Nate. You you promote McDonald's.
Yes, that's true. I do.
So
they serve breakfast all day, every day.
You know, and the Arabica beans,
get you
right?
Some 100% Arabica bean coffee.
That's right.
Well, real quick, tomorrow's a big day in McDonald land because as they start to roll out the Grand Mac and Mac Junior sandwiches, they are giving away 10,000. Bottles of Big Mac special sauce.
Whoa.
And the
fancy sauce.
Now, they'll tell us tomorrow how you can get it. And apparently, there is speaking of you, Nate, a whole subculture of Big Mac sauce aficionados. The first of which being, and he will get the first giveaway bottle. Actor Bradley Cooper, who is apparently a giant Big Mac sauce fan, and the head chef, I didn't know McDonald's had a chef, but they do, the head chef at McDonald's will be giving Bradley Cooper the first giveaway bottle of McDonald's sauce. So stay tuned tomorrow. We'll tell you how to get a bottle. Now, the rumor has always been, it's Thousand Island dressing. I beg to differ. I think it's a Thousand Island.
I beg to differ, too. There's something else in there.
There's something else in there.
There's something else in the sauce, Dave.
My guess, and I do have, despite my years of heavy smoking, have a pretty distinct palate and, of course, nose, as you can tell if you've looked at me. I believe that it is a vinegar base that is the extra in the Thousand Island. That is my theory to their closely guarded secret. I also have 7 of the 8 herbs and spices that KFC does, too, by the way, down. I can't figure out what the hell that other one was, but it's vinegar. I think it's vinegar.
Just so many things that I can't say about this.
From the 714, Nate, I have a beard. Can we hang out?
Let's do it. Beard group. That reminds me. Yesterday, I was on the phone with my grandpa, and he said such an old man thing. It made me laugh. They're going to be in town next week, and he wanted to get together. And I was like, I'm going to be in Houston for the Super Bowl. He asked what day it was. I said Sunday, but we're only going there for the week to do radio stuff. And he says, so your whole broadcasting group is going.
The whole broadcasting, the entire.
We're a bunch of doctors and lawyers that have a club on weekends.
The whole broadcasting group is going, including the bearded guild.
Oh, your whole group.
Yes.
Okay, the broadcasting group.
Well, I'll be down there. Katie could never join your club. Katie can't grow a beard.
I'm sure Katie's been a beard at least once in her life.
from the 916. Speaking of old men, this guy's mad that we were speaking pleasantly about the Kings. Winning one game against a bad team is nothing to be happy about.
Hey, who was positive? I lost last night.
Right?
Allegedly.
Hey, buddy on the text line, let me break something down for you.
Oh, here we
go. Detroit's in the playoffs in the East.
Oh,
so
up your butt, Joe Boo. This guy goes on to say,
I love it when people automatically, just because a team loses doesn't mean they're a bad team. Detroit is not a bad team.
Well, they're not a great team. The Kings aren't a good team, but Jesus Christ, they won. Who cares? I wonder how Philadelphia radio reacts when they win a game in the last five seasons.
Also, the Pistons aren't in the playoffs right now, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, they were going into the game last night.
You guys are acting like the Kings went on a two-game winning streak, two in the last 10, and maybe we'll win one more on this road trip.
Yeah, who cares? I can tell you this, Philly radio is better than their teams are losing.
Thank you. Exactly.
Everyone knows that.
God.
So, yeah, I can be insufferable with a win.
God, Polly Poopy Pants checking in on the text line. Jeez.
Seriously, it's hard enough to talk about this team when they're struggling like they have been. Are you going to bemoan us for talking about a win?
Katie, it's bemoana us. Idiot. All right, in the offseason, there was so little betting interest in the Atlanta Falcons that some Vegas sports book, it's not quite Leicester City, but they ran the Super Bowl odds for the Falcons from 40-1 where they opened all the way up to 100-1.
Whoa.
To get some action. It didn't help, guys. When the season kicked off in September, CG Technology taking more bets on the Cleveland Browns to win the Super Bowl.
Way.
In fact, as of September 6th, only one team had attracted fewer bets to win the Super Bowl than the Falcons. And that
was that
team,
the 49ers?
Okay, Katie, I'll give you two guesses. Number one for you is the 49ers. Nate?
I was going to guess the 49ers.
So you each have one more guess, and I'll tell you it is not the 49ers. One team in
the
NFL. The Colts. Nate.
The Bills.
Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans were the only team.
I wasn't too far off with the Bills. Like, you knew it was going to be a Nowheresville, kind of nobody cares.
We took a 5,000.
I was geographically kind of close, right?
Yeah, a little bit, sort of, kind of. $5,000 bet at 40-1 on the Falcons. Somebody did place that bet. If the Falcons win, that ticket will net $200,000. Wow, and the books are still going to win almost $1 million, that book at least, if the Falcons win. William Hill reported taking 184 tickets on the Falcons at odds of 100-1 or greater. MGM, 31 bets on the Falcons at 75-1, with the average amount being about $70.
Isn't it, like, more than anything else, like, doesn't that just tell you exactly how little people care about the Falcons? Like, there aren't even bandwagoners. There aren't enough hardcore fans.
No,
I mean, seriously, like, okay, the Browns thing I get, right? You take the longest odds. But you just
Do
it. You throw $10 on whatever it is. It's a shot in the dark. Who cares?
Leicester City, right?
Like, if you're the people that bet on the 49ers, I guarantee you are Niners fans that probably have made the same bet every year for the last 25 years or something like that. Those people don't exist for the Falcons.
Well, in case you forgot, to the Atlanta Falcons last year, it's not like they finished one. They were 8-8.
No.
They were 8-8. So there you go. So there's your betting update, Nate. When we return, Fordan territory coming up at 7:17. Also, we have Pac-Man Jones audio from the back of the cop car when he was arrested last week. And he says some naughty things. We'll bleep him out because it's a family show. But that's coming up at 7:30. Next, Kings and Pistons. And we'll irritate the guy on the text line by talking about what happened and what's next for your Sacramento Kings right here on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.